fighting the socialists in Washington, exposing the nonsense in Congress, restoring common sense to government. It's Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. We the people must make a stand, so let your voice be heard. And call Pete now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome to Common Sense Radio, the holiday edition. That's right, it's the holiday season, and don't forget the reason for this season is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But this is Common Sense Radio, the Christmas show, and we welcome you on a Thursday night. You're right where you should be in front of your radio to hear what's going on in the news. And there's plenty going on, and we will get to it in your calls. But as always, we are here, no matter how cold it gets. You think it's so cold that the electrons would freeze. But we have the nicest, warmest engineer who knows how to warm the cockles of those electrons and get them moving in this frigid weather so that he coaxes them through the antenna and out into the cybersphere so that no matter how cold the weather is, you can still get Common Sense Radio, whether it's over the through the air or cyberspace with the TuneIn Radio or streaming FM Talk 106.5.com. However it is, it's because we have the warmest, nicest, most gracious, award-winning engineer that ever was, as he coaxes the electrons into your little holiday home. Our engineer, all-around nice guy, executive producer, co-host, and everything else that could possibly be done around here, bottle washer, etc., Mark Holliday.
Thank you, Pete. I didn't know electrons had cockles, but okay. I'll take your word for it.
Settle down. They always glow.
The cockles
you
always
glow. You get their little cockles to glow as they shoot out the antenna.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm always glad to be here. We've been kind of intermittent between
Auburn football, and then I had a business trip and all that stuff. So
Yeah. So we've got some stuff to catch up on.
We have a lot to catch up on. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, we have adult supervision in the studio tonight. Our director of quality assurance is here with us to bring dignity and decorum to the show, and hopefully you will find something of value. She's here to do that. As always, she's a co-host, head of the research department, executive producer, all-around nice gal, a Gold Star wife, United States Coast Guard, Teresa Taylor.
Great to be here.
It's good to
our
see
our last
you.
Show of the year.
Yeah, our last show of the year.
Right. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Isn't that amazing?
It was the last show of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, so as we push into our eighth or ninth year, whatever it is, I don't know.
Ninth year, whatever. We'll just keep going until they pull the plug,
Till the FCC catches us, yeah. We will keep going. So, look, I know there's several news things going on. I know everybody's dying to talk about the biggest news item out there right now. And so we want to get – and I hope y'all will join us with your calls and texts at 251-343-0106 to hear what you think about it. So I think we should get straight away to the biggest news item everybody's talking about.
Well, there's really nothing bigger.
There's a Democrat debate tonight.
Well, that's the irony of it. Yeah, I know.
Right? Everybody wants to talk about
– Yeah.
The sixth Democrat debate is tonight.
Yeah. I don't know that they timed it like they thought they were timing it. It makes you wonder.
Really, it's the week before Christmas.
And it's on CNN. So there's absolutely nobody's going to be asking any tough questions of any of them.
It's Chris. It's CNN. And really, and then here's the funny thing about it. This is the sixth one. Another 3-hour debate of these knuckleheads. And you know what the big story is?
Bloomberg's in it?
Yeah, everybody's wondering who can come in and save the day. Maybe. I mean, didn't the handlers on these campaigns go, you know, these debates aren't helping us.
They are not helping. They should just let her be the moderator from now on.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And she might ask some good questions because of all of them, although, you know, they kicked her out early.
Yeah, they kicked her out.
Long ago. So,
yeah, right.
So if you want to see a bunch of old white people, tune in to the Democrat debate tonight. That's who's there. Old white people in the party of diversity. Check them out. But if you want to talk about more relevant and pertinent things, stay right here with us on Common Sense Radio. Yeah. Okay, so I was only kidding about that. All right. They did it. Impeachment. It's done.
Yeah, yep. So we think. So So we're led to believe that it's done.
Well, it may not be done. Because
but it may not be.
There's things going on. So there's some thoughts. I know some people, and I was actually debating with some liberals earlier, and I said, you know, really, the
Can you even do that? Debate with
No, them? You can't.
You can't
no.
really.
You kind of throw stuff out there and hope that other people reading will see.
Oh, you were on a Facebook thing.
On a Facebook thing. The a cogent argument. So they go, oh, well, that kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. The liberals, although some of these guys, actually, the funny thing is they're still defending the impeachment, but they know they're going to lose the House. They're not really disputing that.
Right, uh-huh. Yeah.
They know they've made a mistake politically. They're just trying to justify it that they stand for the heart, the better,
oh, yeah.
the higher good, the higher cause. The
yeah, now they're willing
good.
To fall
It'll
on their
cost
sword,
us, but we're here
whatever.
For the greater
we're
good.
We're here. We did mm-hmm. our duty.
No matter the cost.
Folks.
Whatever.
Yeah, right.
Look, first of all, it's total raw politics. It was total partisan move. Look, they started talking about impeaching him before he was elected.
Yeah, but before he took office,
and
for
before
sure.
he took office, and yeah. as soon as he took office, people like Maxine Waters were already saying, "Now we start on impeachment."
Yeah,
the guy never even got a chance to get in office. This has been set. They were going to do this one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't find any offenses.
Yeah, will the crazy make him in your mind comes from. We logically try to piece everything together since the beginning. And remember, was it Tlaib?
Yeah.
She was the one who said, we're going to do this and we're going to impeach
so
the blankety, blankety, blank. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, and that was brought up, I think, by McCarthy.
Yeah.
I think he were. And then Omar was like, stop it. Stop it. Like, you're being so ridiculous. How is she mad that he brought that up?
That's
that actually happened. I mean, that's the thing. That's the crazy making.
If you say something publicly and somebody repeats those words back. You can't be mad about that.
No, but they
well,
are.
You were standing on it. You're telling us that's why you're doing the impeachment.
Right.
But if you remember, and hopefully if you read Common Sense column every week, you would know mm-hmm. this from 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. I had a column about this. We knew they were mm-hmm. going to impeach him no matter what.
Right.
After the Mueller debacle, first the Mueller report comes out and it's a bust.
Right.
And then they try again. They bring him in there. They think they're going to kickstart again with his testimony. That was a total debacle. At that point, the Democrats, and I had a column about this,
mm-hmm.
the Democrats made a conscious choice that now we're just going to impeach without a reason.
Yeah.
Whatever we can throw against the wall, it doesn't matter if it sticks, it doesn't matter what it is, we're going to drive impeachment.
Yep.
They cooked up the Ukrainian hoax now, from the Russian hoax. They cooked up the Ukrainian hoax. They disregarded everything.
Yeah, I mean.
They just kept driving right through it.
These two articles have nothing to do with Ukraine.
The articles don't have anything to do with Ukraine. That's what they said they impeached
you. The articles don't have really anything to do with anything. Especially.
Right.
What is it? Obstruction of Congress? That's not a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that really is
look,
a thing.
Look, you know, we have three co-equal branches
that are supposed
of government.
To be competing.
Yes. They are checked and balances. That the way it was supposed to be set up. And
in
I'm
a sense,
sorry.
You're supposed to obstruct. If you,
they
I
are
mean,
supposed
in
to
a
obstruct
sense,
each
that's,
other.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
How it's, that's
yes.
how it's set up.
You are supposed to obstruct the other branches of government to the point that they work together with you to come mm-hmm. to an
right.
agreement.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, there's mm-hmm. no working together.
And so they can have some disagreements about stuff like, well, he withheld congressionally mandated aid, military aid, and that threatened our national security. Okay, mm-hmm. well, pause. First of all, that military aid was withheld from Ukraine by the Obama administration for their entire two terms. When they were actually under attack by the Russians.
Right.
And nobody was worried about the national security then. And oh, by the way, who actually gave them that military aid? Trump.
Mm.
So the thing they said happened actually didn't happen. He gave them the military aid. There right. was no quid pro quo. So here they are totally making this up. And then when they get down to it, none of that's in there.
Right.
None of that's in there. And I almost lost my point there. The point about the congressionally mandated, you probably can dig through. Congress passes all sorts of stuff that the executive branch decides not to implement.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember,
sure.
they passed stuff about FEC laws, Remember in Philadelphia when those guys were intimidating voters at Philadelphia?
The
Black Panthers?
Yeah.
That was a law?
That was
Do you know what the executive branch declined to do?
Prosecute. Yes.
They declined to enforce that law. Now, you can disagree with that. You can maybe try to compel them to do that. But is that impeachable offense?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think so. I mean, it makes you angry. But, I mean, actually, that's where that one guy, Jonathan Turley, some law professor from somewhere, I forget where he's from, he had a column out that said, look, by the measurement they're using to impeach Trump, every single president that's ever served could be impeached by that measure.
Yep.
It's total nonsense. They had no. Now, the funny thing is, they kept saying, oh, this is so serious. Where was the bipartisanship? It was in the opposition.
Yeah. Correct. That's the
only thing. Three Democrats defected and voted against the impeachment. And oh, by the way, Tulsi Gabbard voted present. And I thought that was interesting. Later, I found out she didn't want to vote against it, but she said it was a purely partisan process, and that's why she voted present. So, in effect, you had four Democrats defect.
Yeah.
So the only bipartisanship up there was
against
impeachment.
It was totally partisan. But, folks, we're going to dig into this some more because I think, and I'd love to hear from y'all what y'all think about it, but it's not a terrible thing. And we're going to get into why it's not a terrible thing. And look, they've already flipped one Democrat to Republican. The guy from New Jersey already switched.
Yep, that was
pretty
outstanding.
After he voted against it, he switched to Republican. So we're going to get into all that and your calls at 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right. Welcome back to Common Sense Radio. And look, in this Christmas season, you need to understand what the reason for the season is. And you know where you can find that. You know where you can get the straight skinny on that, the real truth on the reason for the season. At Magnolia Springs Baptist Church. You need to go check them out at 6058 Theodore Dawes Road. That's down there in Theodore, just south of I-10 and north of Highway 90 on Theodore Dawes Road. It is a Bible-loving church, a Bible-teaching church. They've got a good conservative pastor. They've got a great congregation where you'll get wonderful fellowship and warmth with them there. And you will learn the real reason for the season and the gift of Jesus Christ, our Savior, to all of us. Saved our souls and saved us for eternity, a precious and infinite gift that you just is so hard to contemplate. But you can get that right at Magnolia Springs Baptist Church. Go check them out this Sunday at 6058 Theodore Dawes Road. And I also want to make a little programming note. It's with heavy heart we found out that one of our regular callers, beloved callers from downtown Fly Creek, Taxman has passed away, I guess, earlier this week.
I think so.
Sometime within the last
week. Yeah.
So Taxman was a great caller and a prolific texter.
A source of some good information.
And just,
very smart.
Had such a knowledge of things.
A great guy. He will be sorely missed. Mm-hmm. I remember him. He supported me when I ran years and years ago. Good friend. And Taxman will be sorely missed. His texts and his commentary would be sorely missed. So anyway, so impeachment, the big thing, we were talking about it, it's completely partisan. And really, I'm not that upset about it because part of it is they've inflamed the conservatives.
Oh, yeah.
And not just conservatives, independents are disgusted by this.
Yeah.
I mean, they have divided the nation over nothing, essentially. Because everybody's looking at it going, really? You've impeached over this? But what they have done, they have made it so that conservatives are going to vote.
Look,
it may be a hurricane. Yeah. They may be in ICU. They may be fighting off wild dogs. But they're going to vote.
Look, even the slavish media pushed back on Pelosi a little bit today, trying to get some reasoning behind why she's now
holding things up.
Yeah, let's just... And I mean, that was actually a turn.
We're going to get into why she's holding things up.
Yeah, and I have some thoughts on that as well.
Yeah, we'll get into that. Let me throw out there, because I think what they've really just done is they've set themselves up. They're going to lose the House in 2020. And oh, by the way, impeachment comes. They do impeachment, and guess what came out the same day? A USA Today Suffolk University poll. Trump now leads all Democrat contenders.
Yeah.
Oh, so the impeachment.
Shocking.
Impeachment's helping you, Democrats. Yep. Keep going. I like impeachment. I think we should keep doing it. Let's go to Thomas on line two, who's been holding patiently. Thomas, Merry Christmas to you.
Well, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you, Pete, and Teresa, and Mark, and everybody, and your 50 million bolts of power. I think that's good.
That Mark has a lot of voltage. He's high wattage.
John always makes a good point once in a while. Says, I got 50 million volts.
That's right.
How many do you got? You know, and it's hard to answer. It's a hard question. But I think I'm 70 years old now, and I think if you don't get impeached, you're not trying.
There you go. You know, that sort of sums it up.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You got to look at it that way. I don't see any other way to look at it, although I don't say much anymore. But I'm 70 years old, and the tax man was quite a friend. I knew him for, it's almost 30 years.
Wow.
It was in the early 1990s. We started fussing at each other, and it continued. And the same week he passed on, I was harassing him because he was telling people that you might remember that the hummingbirds were thirsty.
Now, right.
Who knows if the hummingbirds are thirsty? And I haven't seen a hummingbird in like 20 years.
Aww,
you know, I don't think they exist anymore, to tell you the truth. But so when I heard it, I was devastated. And we went out and bought a hummingbird feeder, and my wife took me out in the backyard and we installed it. So if there's any thirsty hummingbirds around, you can come to my house and get a drink.
You'll probably start to see them in the early spring.
Yep.
They'll be migrating north. And
as they come through in the early spring.
They'll stop in for a drink.
They'll be back, Thomas.
Does Sean Sullivan hunt the birds? Does he hunt them?
Does he hunt hummingbirds? I don't know if he has any caliber that small.
Yeah,
I know he likes to hunt the squirrels.
There's not much meat on the hummingbirds.
They hunt the squirrels.
You need a lot of hummingbirds to make a snack.
I don't think I could do that.
Mitch McConnell hunting the squirrels. That's what his problem is. He ate too many of them. Anyhow, everybody have a great holiday season and be safe.
You too. Thank you, Thomas. Merry Christmas. Thank you for listening. All right, let's go to Kevin, line one from Mobile. Kevin, what do you got for us?
Merry Christmas, and God bless Taxman's family. He was a fun to listen to, so I feel your pain there. So, but hey, listen, we'll have to back it up today. I was writing a parody with like the 12 Days of Christmas there, and it was like the thinking of what's going to happen when this finally goes down. You know, the night before impeachment and all in the House, the Prozac and Valium are taken by mouth. That's my start there, and I got to finish it up. So
that's a good start.
Off their mind going crazy. And when this does go down, you know, the Democrats, I got a friend of mine, and he's like, look what happened. We got him impeached. I said, look, man. I said, you guys are going to get blown out of the water. I said, you know, when Reagan won by a landslide, his second term. I said, that's how Trump's going to be. I said, whoever, what crazy they pick on the Democrat side, might win California and New York. And I said, this is sad that you guys have got to just dig up, make up, you know, write some Hollywood screenplay to try to get our president impeached. So I said, in the end, hey, so be it. I said, we're going to win by a landslide victory, and it's going to be great to have the House, the Senate, and the president all Republicans, doing great for every American. What better Christmas gift can we ask for? So God bless our president. God bless the United States. And God bless America. And Merry Christmas to all.
Thank you, Kevin. Merry Christmas to you. Well said. Appreciate you calling and listening. Look, it really, that's why, and that's why I was telling some of the liberals earlier, I kind of got off track there. You know, I'm annoyed by the impeachment because it's such a travesty, mm-hmm. and it's really an abuse of power by the Congress.
Exactly.
And it's
can we impeach Congress for abuse of power?
Well, that
we
is should a question.
Well, we go do it at the ballot box every two years.
Go.
But here's the bright spot, and I got to thinking maybe even 2018 was actually a blessing in disguise that we lost mm-hmm. the House to the Democrats. Because mm-hmm. here's what's happened.
Nothing, first of all.
Nothing has happened.
Yeah.
But what they've done is they've absolutely exposed that they are rabid, power-crazed maniacs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They are mm-hmm. crazier than run-over dogs.
Yeah.
And the entire country is watching them going, they're nuts.
Yeah.
The Congress is nuts. Their presidential candidates are totally wacko. So even though they got the House for 2 years, we've had 2 years to expose their incredible lunacy, and now this impeachment will backfire. Trump, it'll be like 1972. Trump's going to win in a landslide. I don't know if he can get 49 states because, as Kevin just said, you know, you're probably not going to peel off New York and California, but he might peel off all the rest of them.
Yeah, that's entirely possible.
At the rate he's going,
yeah.
That we're going to win the House back. The Senate will probably gain. So we'll have total Republican control of the government, and oh, guess what? At least one or two more Supreme Court nominees in the next 5 years. So you will make a solidly conservative court for the next generation, which means, Mark, you and I can die in peace.
Without worries.
We will make it.
Give it to our kids and grandkids, and
we can shuffle
off the mortal coil.
That's right. Because, you know, we don't know what will happen after 24, but at least the court will be solidly conservative for a generation and give Mark and I enough time to die quietly. You know, with our guns and brown liquor somewhere.
Somewhere.
Somewhere. Yeah, I don't know
right.
where, but wherever. I mean, golly. So, in my mind, there's a bright spot to all of that. So, look, but there's more in it because we got to get into Pelosi's backing off on the articles and what's going to happen in the Senate and... And I guess I'll close this one out, is the Washington Post reporters are celebrating, and they wanted to wish you a merry impeachment.
Right.
From the Washington Post reporters.
Oh, gosh.
So from our unbiased press.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be right back with your calls and texts at 251-343-0106. It's snowing in the pines. Merry Christmas from Dixie.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. At the bottom of the hour, bring aboard a special sponsor, ABC Signs and Shirts, to bring you wit and wisdom from a 40th president. ABC Signs and Shirts, that's your headquarters for custom-made dry-fit shirts, custom-made banners, signs, whatever you need, promotional materials, and they have a Trump store, which is probably booming right now.
Yeah,
I hope they keep those MAGA hats on the shelf. As impeachment progresses, everybody wants a red hat, and you can get one at ABC Signs and Shirts down on LaRue Steiner Road in downtown Tillman's Corner, or give them a call at 877-744-6750, or go to abcsigns.biz or abcshirts.biz. That's B-I-Z. And here they have wit and wisdom from our 40th president.
My fellow Americans, throughout the history of our republic, many a candidate has promised that if elected, he would clean up the mess in Washington. Well, when I got to Washington 6.5 years ago, I found the mess still here. Our federal government was weighted down with waste, victimized by fraud, and out of step with modern management techniques. We started on day one to set things right. To begin with, we brought in top-notch inspectors general for federal departments and agencies who were instructed not only to be tough on waste, fraud, and abuse, but, as my press secretary Jim Brady put it, to be as mean as junkyard dogs.
There you go. I there picked that one. It was a radio address to the nation on fiscal integrity and efficiency in the federal government in the 22nd of August, 1987. Be mean as a junkyard dog. But it was, I picked it because it's the same problem we have now. It's a cesspool up there.
Yeah.
Well, but because it is the center of power, and power corrupts. So you constantly have to be monitoring and reforming the government because the power corrupts up there.
Right. Yeah.
Reagan fought it his entire term. He said, look, I'm 6.5 years and I'm still fighting it.
Yeah.
And Trump is trying to do the same thing. He's draining the swamp. And I would argue Trump's maybe draining the swamp more than Reagan did.
Yeah.
I mean, he's really on. That's why they're trying to impeach him, because they are on his butt.
Hey, we didn't have a swamp mistress when Reagan was in office.
That's right.
Now
we
do.
Swamp mistress.
Now we do.
Nancy dressed in black. She was a swamp mistress. And that kind of goes along with this week's column, another whitewash in Washington. And I know it seems like old news, and we may come back to it, but the whitewash is in Washington is the IG report.
Right, yeah.
And you go read it. And you know, they came out and they said, oh, the IG report, it's over. He didn't find any bias. Whoa, hold the phone.
Oh, yep.
Read the report. And it actually details a lot of the malfeasance and fraud and illegal activity by the FBI, the CIA, the DOJ. It's all in there. But then he goes to the end and he makes this, oh, but I didn't find any bias.
Well, you have to understand the restrictions upon the IG,
right.
First of all. Right. And the fact that he couldn't eyeball, sit down, interview face-to-face some of these people because they're no longer in whatever department he's IGing.
Right.
So he can't.
He's limited. He can't indict.
And he can't, you know, just say, I think there was some political bias without actually having direct evidence, unlike the Congress, who can impeach a president without any direct evidence. But
don't worry
I
about
digress.
This whitewash, because we've kind of heard this before. I put it in the column. It's kind of like, remember when Comey came out in July and ran down this list of all the violations by Hillary Clinton? And you're listening going, oh, my God, he's about to indict Hillary Clinton. He is listing. He is defining an indictment right now. And then it gets in. It goes, but she didn't mean it. So we find
free pass.
You're absolved. And that's what they're trying to paint this IG as.
Right.
Well, folks, don't worry, because Attorney General Barr and Special Prosecutor Durham, I can't forget his last name, whatever it is, from Connecticut.
They do
have indictment powers and subpoena powers, and you will be seeing more on that. So don't lose any faith on that. Let's go to line one. We have Harry holding patiently. Harry, you got a question for us.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call, first-time caller. In regards to the House withholding the articles to the Senate, okay, I do not think there is a time limit with which they can, you know, they have to abide by. They could hold them for as long as they want. Could, on the outside chance that the Democrats think they will win the Senate in 2020, which I don't think they will, but if they should win the Senate in 2020, could they then submit the articles of impeachment if the president is reelected, submit the articles of impeachment to the Senate at that time, with a Democratic Senate?
I don't know for sure what the answer is to that, but a couple of answers. You are correct. There is no time period in the Constitution that says when, from articles of impeachment to when it has to be submitted to the Senate.
No time frame specifically for impeachment.
Right.
But the Sixth Amendment guarantees an individual the right to a speedy trial,
right,
and to be able to face his accusers.
Right.
And I think, you know, I'm not a constitutional scholar or attorney, but I think somebody could make a pretty good case about them denying him Sixth Amendment privileges.
In a speedy trial.
Yeah, he should.
And that there's no reason to hold it. Now, I agree with that, but the other part of it, absolutely, if the Democrats can get away with holding this thing and waiting until they win the Senate and submitting it in like 2025, after he's out of office.
Well,
I, you know, whenever I think if the Democrats, if they have any inkling they can get away with it, I think they would try that. I don't think they'll win the Senate, and I think another problem is they may not have the House either.
Yeah, that's true.
After 2020,
so
exactly. I don't think they get it. Now, there's another. I read another column today by another constitutional scholar, and he put out that the impeachment is actually in a process. It's a full process. So you introduce the articles of impeachment, you vote on them, but you're not really impeached until it's submitted to the Senate for trial.
Sure, yeah.
That it's actually not a, the last right. part of the process is submit to the Senate. So what this guy was suggesting is that Trump is not actually impeached.
He hasn't been impeached.
Until it's submitted to the Senate for trial.
Interesting.
So, I mean, you can parse this, but I think politically, if they can get away with holding it, I think they might try.
And we talked about that in the very beginning, that it would just be a show because we like it's not going to pass in the Senate.
No, it's not going to pass in the Senate.
I mean, we always wondered. We're like, why are they doing
that? But
they
there's the other risk because it's such weak in articles of impeachment. So they send it over to the Senate, whether they have a trial or not. What's the likelihood that the vote to acquit will also be bipartisan? You can pretty much bet Joe Manchin from West Virginia is not going down for this.
No.
And there are other Democrat senators from swing states that are sitting here looking at Nancy Pelosi. Really?
Yeah.
You sent us this steaming turd, and you want us to sacrifice our political careers over this?
Yeah.
So what happens to the Democrat narrative? That's why I think she's really – I think part of it is what you're thinking, Harry, but part of it is it goes to the Senate and
it's like,
one, two, three, four, five, six Democrats vote to acquit.
Yeah.
Then the whole thing is undermined.
I said, my concern was if by the outside chance they win the Senate later in the year in 2020, could they submit at that time?
Yeah, they could.
That's a great question.
If there's any way to pull it off, I think they would try. If they can do it or not, I don't know.
Well,
but I'm sure they have thought of that and talked about it, Harry. So I appreciate the call and listening. Great question. Let's go to line three, Breakfast Club. Glenn, what do you got for us?
Well, a few points, actually. The first thing I'd like to do is read you from Article 1, Section 3 of the Constitution. The Senate shall have the sole power to try all impeachments. Basically, I translate that as the Speaker of the House of Representatives doesn't have any right to decide or require the Senate to give her any submission as to how they'll handle the trial. They can decide to do that any way they want to.
So you're bringing up a really good point, because when they did the impeachment inquiry and had the impeachment hearings, who set the rules?
The House.
The House of Representatives.
Nancy Pelosi. Mm-hmm. Were Republicans allowed to set any rules?
Nope.
Were they were barely allowed to participate in the impeachment inquiry, right?
Yep.
So she ran her show. She did all of hers. Unilaterally,
it's
totally bipartisan.
Now
the way the system works, it goes to the other side. You're right. She has no right to dictate or demand anything of the Senate. It's independent of her.
Point number two, concerning the second article concerning obstruction of Congress. If I remember correctly, if there's a dispute between the legislative and the executive branches, they're supposed to go to the judicial branch for a ruling first, aren't they?
Yes, absolutely.
Right. And oh, by the way, the tax returns that they're talking about are going to the Supreme Court.
Should never been written to begin with.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Let me see if I understand the first one correctly. They're accusing him of abuse of power because he's trying to get a foreign government to influence our election.
No, he is. It was abusive.
It's abusive power. Now that's
very vague.
On CNN, they'll say that. Oh, he was trying to get a foreign government to influence our election, but that's not what the abusive power article says.
Okay, what's the abuse of power?
Well, that's
just so I'm clear as to what
it's
it is.
Very vague.
They keep changing it daily.
Mm-hmm.
No one knows.
Correct. Right.
You know, it's kind of like the age old question. How many Frenchmen does it take to defend Paris? One knows.
No one knows. It's never been done.
Yeah.
Okay. I have one final question for you. If nobody knows what the abuse of power is, how could you provide evidence to convict?
Exactly.
And they have no evidence. They've provided nothing. It's a total...
You know, a lot of this doesn't make sense, but then again, it's the Democrats and they're involved. Democrats.
Well, but, yep. But what you can't discount is, and I don't know how much of the... there is a segment of the population that just totally swallows what the slavish media puts out, listens to whatever propaganda the Democrats put out, and they're convinced that Trump was bribing them for extorting dirt on Biden. They're convinced that that happened. And when you bring up Fusion GPS and how Hillary bought the Steele dossier, the dirt from the Russians, liberals look at you and go, no, that didn't happen. Yes, actually, it's been documented. Yes, that did happen. But
okay,
so you don't know how much of the population is totally ignorant of what's happened.
Ready for this one?
Go ahead, Glenn.
Let's say if Pelosi hangs on to these articles of impeachment all the way into next year, and the Democrats lose the House of Representatives and the articles are still sitting there. What happens when the Republicans take over in 2021?
They go away.
I guess they can repeal those.
I guess they can go back and repeal them or dismiss them. I don't know.
Well, she's painted herself in a corner.
She has painted herself in a corner because she knows it's not going to pass the Senate. And the worst thing, what we just said, is for it to be a bipartisan acquittal.
Well,
it's the worst thing.
She might as well go ahead and do it because the damage has already been done.
Oh, yeah. The damage. Actually, what she needs to do is do it and get it over with so that maybe they can hope they can move on to the next smear before the election.
They are. In the past. Believe me, they're like,
well, they're already working on the next smear. I don't know what it is, but I'm sure they are.
Actually, I think I know why she's holding on to the articles at the moment.
Why is that?
Well, January is coming up. If the articles of impeachment are in the Senate, then Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders can't be out on the campaign trail.
Oh, so you think maybe she's doing to keep them off so that Hillary can ease in?
Yeah, that's a possibility, too.
Yeah, no, believe me, if you don't think they're thinking of every angle, they're thinking of every angle.
And
they
the ones
are.
We haven't thought of.
All right, Glenn, thank you for the call and for the insights. Always appreciate the call and the listening, and we'll be right back at 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. Okay, continuing on, we'll take your calls and text at 251-343-0106. All right, Nancy, we're talking about her holding the articles, and one of the things she said, oh, well, McConnell is not an impartial juror. Now think about the hypocrisy of that. Like she in the House was impartial in the inquiry.
If you move this around into a typical type of criminal investigation in normal circumstances, the House of Representatives operates as a grand jury.
Yeah.
Okay. Grand juries, by their very nature, are supposed to be impartial and.
Right.
Look at the evidence and decide, is there enough evidence here
to
move it forward and give you know.
That's it. That's all they do.
Issue a true bill of indictment.
Right.
And same with it's supposed to be the same way when you go to the court and you have a trial. I mean, you know, the jurors are supposed to be impartial when they walk in. That's what voir dire is all about. But you know, if you're not impartial in the grand jury, why do you think, you know, what makes you think that the other side should be impartial too?
It's a crazy incredible hypocrisy. Oh, he's not impartial and you are.
And you are.
Yeah. I mean, are you kidding? And actually, one of the things is I understand that there was a lot of consternation around the country this morning because a lot of liberals woke up and were just stunned that Trump was still in office. They were like, he was impeached yesterday.
They thought he'd already moved out.
And so was Maxine Waters, because she was trying to introduce articles of impeachment against Vice President Pence because she thought he was president now.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, these people. Anyway.
How can we expect our students and our citizenry to be knowledgeable in the least amount when our representatives have absolutely no clue.
A lot of them have no clue. Stump stupid. They really are.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank God they have some staff to try to say, oh, no, please don't, say that. That's not right. Yep. I did want to bring up that, you know, when Clinton was impeached almost exactly 21 years ago to the day, his impeachment, the vote to start the inquiry, 31 Democrats voted. Mm-hmm. With Republicans. It was bipartisan.
Right. You know why? Because it was a real crime.
Five Democrats actually voted for it, and eight Republicans opposed it. And when it got to the Senate, 10 Senate Republicans voted to acquit. So it was all very bipartisan. Not very bipartisan, but it was bipartisan. So I just wanted to make sure everybody kind of realized that contrast. Now, the other question, it should go to the Senate. Assuming it's going to go to the Senate at some point here, we're not going to wait till 2021. The question is, should they have a quick trial where they open it up, have opening statements, and basically what they, in legal parlance, ask for summary judgment, mm-hmm. which one side can petition and say, hey, I want a summary judgment. They have no case. Come on, judge, you heard it all. They got nothing here. We're wasting our time. And you can get summary judgment, which is right away after opening statements, ask for summary judgment, up or down vote, you're done.
Yep.
Which McConnell apparently has been alluding to something like
and
that.
And Lindsey Graham, the same.
Right, we're going to get it done. There's others who say, let's have a trial.
Mm-hmm.
Let's subpoena people. Yeah. Let's get Hunter Biden up here. Let's get Adam Schiff up here. Let's get all these people to testify. And I'm starting to lean into the long trial. Let's get all of them up there to testify
for six or eight weeks.
Under oath.
Yes.
Say, now you're under oath. Now you have legal jeopardy. Let's go through what you did. When did you talk to the did you talk to the whistleblower that you said you don't know who he is?
And what was in your mind when you were talking to the
well, let's
president.
Not forget how they changed that whistleblower law
and they,
just a few, what was it, even a week or something before. It was just
all
like,
that came out. They changed all the procedure.
There's so
and all
many
that.
Stones that could still be
turned
over.
I mean, look, the bottom line is, I said it earlier, it's annoying, but actually I think there will be a silver lining in it because it's exposed the incredible lunacy of the Democrats, and I really do believe they're going to lose the House. And here's another thing about their hypocrisy. Do you know what they did today, the day after?
Which thing?
They passed the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement, the new NAFTA agreement. And Pelosi actually praised it and said it was a template for future trade agreements.
Wow.
So I'm like, wait a minute. You impeached the guy yesterday, and today you're praising him for his new trade agreement.
Yep.
They're trying to backtrack. It
ain't working.
Absolutely. Folks, remember the reason for the season, and I hope you all have a blessed and safe holiday, and I wish you a Merry Christmas. Please remember the gift from our almighty creator of his son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, on his hallowed birthday. And again, I wish everybody a very, very Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year. We will be back in the New Year.
That's right. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Honey, it's time to come home.